comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Americans United for Separation of Church and State. For more than 75 years, AU has supported freedom without favor and equality without exception. Learn more at au.org/NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Farmers Market every Saturday morning from 7:30 to 11:30 at 824 New Hampshire Street, downtown Lawrence. April through November, rain or shine. Find Lawrence Farmers Market on Facebook for more information.
76 degrees in Lawrence, 77 in Manhattan. It is 6:06.
Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, eventually leading the Justice Department to sue Live Nation over how it monopolized.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. Lots of other frequencies, too. We're always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, hosting former Congressman Luke Messer and Sherry Bustos for their series Congress in the 21st Century, Wednesday, September 18th, 4 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
Still to come, another update of news headlines in the next few minutes. We're going to talk about recreational marijuana in North Carolina. We will also have a conversation with columnist Anne Lamott. She's been writing on aging for the Washington Post. We will also remember the life and career of legal affairs reporter Linda Deutsch. She died on Sunday. I was going to say last week. It's not quite last week, but on Sunday at the age of 80. Name a famous trial. She probably covered it. We'll talk about it coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering downloadable e-books, audiobooks, streaming movies, and more, all available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low in the lower 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine, a high in the mid-70s, lows in the upper 40s tomorrow night. Sunny on Sunday, temperatures bounce back into the mid-80s. Expect more of that through the rest of the next work week. Clear skies all around, no chance of rain currently reported. So next week looks to be a corker. 76 degrees in Lawrence, 79 in Emporia, 78 in Topeka. It is 6:20.
Born here, a new program aims to support refugee children with the help of health workers who share the same cultural backgrounds.
You go as a friend and you build rapport so they can easily share everything with you.
We hear the story of one refugee family in Maine on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
Support for KPR comes from Culinaria, offering Mediterranean-inspired cuisine in a cozy and historic setting at 9th and New Jersey. Reservations welcome but not required. Menu at culinariafoodandwine.com.
Stay tuned. We have news headlines up next. It's 76 degrees in Lawrence, 78 in Topeka, 79 in Emporia. It's 6:30.
Latino and Asian American voters who are likely to be crucial this year. Domenico Montanaro, NPR News, Washington.
Stocks finished lower on Wall Street as big tech companies, including Broadcom and Nvidia, dragged the market lower. The latest jobs report shows employers hired fewer workers than expected last month. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Congress is running out of time to pass a new farm bill. That's created uncertainty around programs that keep farms running and needy families fed. Zane Irwin reports.
Every 5 years, lawmakers debate how to divvy up federal dollars for programs that fund crop subsidies and SNAP food benefits. In May, Kansas Democrat Charisse Davids voted against a proposed farm bill that would have cut funding for nutrition programs. Republican Tracy Mann supported the proposal and its enhanced benefits for farmers. Haley Kotler is a campaign director at the nonprofit Kansas Appleseed. She says disagreements over SNAP funding are stalling negotiations.
Everyone wants their own piece of the pie.
Congress has until September 30th to hammer out those details or give itself some more time to decide. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
Black bear sightings in Kansas are more common now than ever since the animals were pushed to regional extinction in the 1800s. Conservation efforts and reintroduction programs have led to black bear populations rising in neighboring states. Black bear sightings are most common in southeast and southwest Kansas. Kansas biologist Matt Peek says black bears are creeping into the corners of southern Kansas.
It's not an indication that there's any shortcoming in the habitats that they came from. These young bears move outside of established range, looking for their own home range.
Peek says staff at the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks are interested to see if some young bears stay in Kansas and how Kansans can adjust to living alongside them. Well, the Kansas State Fair kicked off today, beginning its 10-day run in Hutchinson. Like so many other organizations, the Kansas State Fair has a new mobile app for iPhone and Android devices. Fairgoers can use the app to purchase tickets or find out where to buy a pronto pup or a funnel cake. KSNW-TV reports that fair officials are hoping to attract 350,000 people this year. That would break pre-COVID attendance records. The fair runs through September 15th. Mostly clear tonight with a low in the lower 50s. Sunshine tomorrow with a high in the mid-70s. Lows in the upper 40s tomorrow night. It's 6:35.
Support for NPR comes from the state.
Things Considered from NPR News.
At Morning Edition from NPR News, we bring you the latest on everything from the presidential race to what interest rates are doing. But we also share stories that take us into other people's lives.
You actually played your horn while they were inside your skull.
Absolutely. Doesn't everybody?
Listen for the unexpected with the news weekdays on Morning Edition.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Next week is no exception. Jay Schaefer will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from The Lead Center, welcoming renowned pianist Jonathan Biss, performing works by Franz Schubert and more, Sunday, September 22nd, 2 p.m. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, lots of other frequencies too, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas Book Festival, September 28th at Washburn University in Topeka, featuring author panels, live music, food trucks, exhibitor tents, and kids activities. Open to the public. Details at kansasbookfestival.com.
Coming up at 7 o'clock on your KPR One stations, it is the BBC Proms, tonight featuring some bombs, a little Schubert as well. If you're joining us on KPR Two at 7 o'clock, we have Snap Judgment. We are expecting the cloudiness to clear out tonight. Lows in the lower 50s tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid-70s. 76 degrees in Lawrence. It's 10 minutes before 7.
By downloading the Amazon Music app or visiting amazon.com/adfree. From the NPR Wine Club, bringing people wines inspired by NPR shows. Whether purchasing a few bottles or joining the club, every purchase supports NPR. Available to adults 21 or older. NPRWineClub.org. And from the law firm Cooley LLP. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Asia, Cooley advises entrepreneurs, investors, financial institutions, and established companies around the world, where innovation meets the law. This is NPR.
With the school year starting and summer winding down, it can be hard to adjust your routines. But when it comes to news, Morning Edition does the work for you. Listen weekdays from NPR News.
Join us for Morning Edition, 5 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday, on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Farmers Market every Saturday morning from 7:30 to 11:30 at 824 New Hampshire Street, downtown Lawrence. April through November, rain or shine. Find Lawrence Farmers Market on Facebook for more information.
Stay tuned. Up next, the BBC Proms. Tonight, an orchestra made up of young Arab and Israeli musicians. We'll be hearing Brahms' violin concerto with soloist Anna-Sophie Mutar alongside Schubert's Great Symphony. Coming right up, it's the BBC Proms. Lows in the lower 50s tonight, sunshine tomorrow with a high in the mid-70s, mostly clear tomorrow night with a low in the upper 40s. It's 7:01, the Proms is next.
This is Symphony Cast from APM, American Public Media. I'm Steve Seal. We are back again this week at the largest classical music festival in the world, the BBC Proms. From July through September, British music fans enjoy 8 weeks of extraordinary music making with concerts of orchestra, choral, and chamber music. And Symphony Cast is proud to be your American source on the radio for weekly samplings of these thrilling concerts heard in their entirety throughout the summer. The Proms is not only a tradition dating back to 1895, but a grand and shining example down through history of how classical music concerts can be joyous, even boisterous events. Conductor Sir Henry Wood, who led those first concerts at the end of the 19th century, set the tone that continues to be followed to this day. And all you have to do is listen to the crowds of these concerts to know the Brits love every minute of it. Proms stands for promenade, in reference to the fact that the first Proms concerts were held outdoors. Today, most of them take place inside the Royal Albert Hall in London, and that's where we're headed for this program once again. This time, just two works are on the concert, but they're big ones with big talent. Conductor Daniel Barenboim leads his West Eastern Divan Orchestra first in the Violin Concerto of Brahms, with special guest Anna-Sophie Mutter, one of the greatest violinists of the past century. And in the second half, Schubert's Symphony No. 9, known as his Great C Major Symphony. The house lights are dimming and the music is just about to start, so get ready for another fabulous concert from London from the 2024 BBC Proms Festival. Welcome to APM's Symphony Cast. Let's take our seats in the Royal Albert Hall and turn things over to Ian Skelly in the BBC booth.
Good evening. Hello. It's a big moment at the BBC Proms. The capacity audience here, also for the young members of the orchestra on stage, and I suspect for the eminent musician who's about to join them tonight, Daniel Barenboim, who made his London conducting debut 57 years ago. 25 years ago, he and the Palestinian scholar and philosopher Edward Said founded the West Eastern Divan Orchestra. The aim was to bring together young musicians from Israel and the Arab countries that surround it, not to change the world or to make peace, as Daniel Barenboim has often said, simply to bring together young and talented musicians from a difficult and divided part of the world so they can discover how much they share in common. Well, they're about to perform two of the great cornerstones of the Austro-German Romantic repertoire, Schubert's Last Symphony, his great C major, driven from beginning to end by its propulsive energy. And in this first half, Anna-Sophie Mutter is the soloist in Brahms's Violin Concerto. I asked her how she approaches music that she's been playing for the best part of 40 years.
What Monet used to say when asked, why do you paint water lilies again and again for almost 40 years of your life? And he used to say, it is not the object I am solely interested in. It is the relationship I have and I will have anew with that object. What happens between myself and Brahms in this case? Through life as a human being, So yes, Brahms has changed, and it's narration. You know, music is a living language, and there is no dogmatic recipe for the one right approach, not even the composers. I mean, Brahms was once asked by a hornist, today your tempo was much faster than yesterday, and he said, yeah, because I was in a very good mood. So.
And Sophie Mutter, leading Daniel Barenboim by the hand onto the stage here at the Royal Albert Hall. A big welcome from the Proms audience. Every seat filled, the arena crammed, his orchestra standing to salute him, and Anne-Sophie Mutter taking her position for this live performance here on Radio 3 and on BBC Sounds of this masterpiece of a violin concerto. Daniel Barenboim acknowledging the applause before turning to the podium. A genial and lively final movement, all based on the traditional music of Hungary, a Hungarian dance Brahms decided to use as a tribute to his friend, the violinist Joseph Joachim, for whom he wrote that concerto. Joachim was born in Hungary, and they shared a love of the folk music of his homeland. A live performance at the BBC Brahms tonight of the violin concerto by Brahms, played by Anne-Sophie Mutter, joining the West Eastern Divan Orchestra, conducted by her great friend, Daniel Barenboim. Anne-Sophie Mutter playing the cadenzas or solo passages composed by Joachim. Many others have created them, but she told me earlier that she plays his as a tribute to him and his great contribution to that concerto. Without him, it would not be the masterpiece it is. And she was standing a little further back than maybe she would have done normally, as Daniel Barenboim was sitting to conduct. So there were times when she was playing those solo passages when she seemed to be serenading him. Very beautiful. She's now walking him off the stage, holding his hand, having both of them stood at the front of the stage to salute the promenaders. Joachim had concerns about the entire approach that Brahms was taking with that concerto. It did go against the grain of the virtuoso music at the time. It's a big boned work, very symphonic, and the soloist is not always centre of stage. Well, the promenaders, as you can hear, aren't quite ready for the interval. And some of the West Eastern Divan Orchestra joining in with the applause, the slow hand clapping, encouraging perhaps Anne-Sophie to come out once more. And here she comes, wearing a beautifully bright cerise dress made of silk, shining, looking very elegant, carrying her Stradivarius violin. The question is, will she lift that violin to her chin? Yes, she will.
I'm deeply humbled and moved by this. It's not a collaboration, it's just, it's a miracle for me to make music with you all, really. And I want to have you join me in a musical prayer for lasting peace in the Middle East. It's the Sarabande by Bach.
Thank you.
Sarabande from the second of Bach's violin partitas. Violinist Anna-Sophie Mutter performing that work as an encore for this very appreciative crowd here at the Royal Albert Hall in London at this concert of the BBC Proms on SymphonyCast. She described her choice of that encore as a prayer for peace, and a fitting comment indeed coming at this concert of the West Eastern Divan Orchestra led by Daniel Barenboim, an orchestra co-founded by Maestro Barenboim in the late 1990s as a musical bridge between Arabs and Israelis. And the orchestra made up of musicians from Israel, Palestine, Jordan, Iran, and other Middle Eastern countries, as well as Spain, which is where the orchestra currently calls home. And that takes us to the midpoint of our concert from the 2024 BBC Proms Festival, the largest and most celebrated classical music festival in the world, where we are spending our summer once again this year on SymphonyCast. I'm Steve Seal. SymphonyCast is in London for the 2024 BBC Proms, one of the largest and longest-running classical music festivals in the world. A reminder that you can hear this concert again from our website, but do it soon because you'll only have access to the Proms concerts for a few weeks. Just go to yourclassical.org/symphonycast. And from our website, you can also like us on Facebook and download free music. Again, that's yourclassical.org/symphonycast. In a moment, the second half of our concert from London will feature the Symphony No. 9 by Franz Schubert. That's coming up next on APM's SymphonyCast.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for the BBC Proms on KPR comes from the Hall Center for the Humanities, presenting author Christina Sharp, weaving together black history, personal memories, and scenes from American life. Tuesday evening at the Hall Center. More at hallcenter.ku.edu. Tonight in northeast and east central Kansas, clear skies, a low of 52 degrees. Sunny for tomorrow with a high in the mid-70s. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Welcome back to APM's SymphonyCast. I'm Steve Seal. If you're just joining us, we're in London once again this week for the 2024 BBC Proms Festival, the largest and longest-running classical music festival in the world, held for 8 weeks every summer at the Royal Albert Hall. At this concert, Daniel Barenboim is leading the West Eastern Divan Orchestra, the group he co-founded in 1999 with the goal of bringing Arabs and Jews together to be united in music. Today, the orchestra is home to musicians from Israel, Egypt, Iran, Palestine, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, and also Spain, the country the group calls its home. We've much music to get to. The second half of our program consists of the Symphony No. 9 by Franz Schubert, his final symphonic work known as his Great C Major Symphony. So without further ado, we return now to the Royal Albert Hall to join Ian Skelly from the BBC.
Well, the West Eastern Divan Orchestra is back on stage and tuned, and this time alone. Here comes our conductor tonight. Onto the stage of the Royal Albert Hall, waving to those in the seats just to the right of the stage as he slowly makes his way to the centre of it. Joining the orchestra for this BBC Proms performance, live on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds, of Schubert's Symphony No. 9. All the music growing out of the stately opening tune played by the two unison horns, quickly picked up by the strings and soon becoming a mighty march. The Great C Major Symphony by Franz Schubert.
Thank you.
Such a remarkable final movement, isn't it? A big landmark in the entire symphonic repertoire. Powerful and dramatic, building in energy as it increasingly races towards the big finish, having earlier danced elegant waltzes and more raucous, rustic dances, sometimes bouncing with joy, sometimes the music darker, more threatening and melancholic. A performance live here at the BBC Proms of Franz Schubert's Symphony No. 9, a prom given by the West Eastern Divan Orchestra, conducted by Daniel Barenboim. Schubert's last symphony, composed during a period of remission when his health had recovered and when he was enjoying an extended holiday tour of his native Austria.
And a moving appearance indeed from a giant of the classical music world, Daniel Barenboim, with the orchestra he co-founded, the West Eastern Divan Orchestra. Well, thank you, Ian Skelly. I'm Steve Seal, and that's where we will take it back from our friends at the BBC for this concert at the Royal Albert Hall and the 2024 BBC Proms Festival. A reminder that Proms concerts are available on our website for only a few short weeks. This concert featured music of Brahms and Schubert. To hear them again, head to yourclassical.org/symph website. You can also like us on Facebook and download free music. The BBC Proms is the largest classical music festival in the world. From July through September, music fans enjoy 9 weeks of extraordinary music making of orchestra, choral, and chamber music. And all summer long, you'll hear concerts from the 130th season of the Proms right here on SymphonyCast. APM's SymphonyCast is produced by Daniel Nass, with technical director Michael Osborne and assistance from Tania Major. I'm Steve Seal. We'll see you again next time on SymphonyCast. This is APM, American Public Media, bringing music to life.
Thanks for joining us for the BBC Proms. Our next concert from the BBC Proms will be the same time, next Friday at 7 p.m. If you'd like to listen to this concert from the BBC Proms, you can do so for a limited time over at yourclassical.org/symphonycast. Stay tuned for the news from NPR, followed by Jazz with Bob McWilliams. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he deplores the death of an American killed at a protest in the West Bank. NPR's Michelle Kelman reports the U.S. is asking Israel to investigate.
26-year-old Aishanur Ezge-Ege was shot at a protest against Israeli settlements in the West Bank. A doctor in Nablus says she had a gunshot wound in her head and died in the hospital. Asked if there will be consequences for Israel, Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he's looking into it.
Any actions that we take are driven by the facts. So first things first, let's find out exactly what happened, and we will draw the necessary conclusions and consequences from that.
The U.S. ambassador in Israel, Jack Lew, says he's urgently gathering information. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
Days after the deadly shooting at Appalachee High School in eastern Georgia, Democratic state lawmakers are calling for a special session to pass legislation aimed at preventing gun violence. Sarah Callis of Georgia Public Broadcasting has more.
Democrats in the Georgia State House filed 11 bills aimed at preventing gun violence over the past 2 years. Not a single bill made it to Governor Brian Kemp's desk. State Representative Michelle Au sponsored a bill which would criminalize unsafe gun storage around minors. The bill never made it out of committee.
Gun violence is not a political issue, right? We've made it one, but that's not what it is at its core. Gun violence is a deeply human issue.
Au says she plans to file the bill again next session. Democratic state lawmakers want Governor Kemp to call a special legislative session in the wake of the Appalachee High School shooting to pass laws to address the issue of gun violence. A Kemp spokesperson said that now is not the time for politics. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Callis in Atlanta.
A decision by the judge overseeing Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York to delay sentencing till after the election could have major ramifications on that case going forward. Announcing plans to postpone Trump's sentencing, Judge Juan Merchan grants Trump and his lawyers a hard-won reprieve following the former president's conviction on 34 felony counts. Speaking at the Fraternal Order of Police Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina today, Trump said the case never should have been brought.
Before we begin, big news today is that the Manhattan DA witch hunt against me has been postponed because everyone realizes that there was no case because I did nothing wrong. It's a witch hunt. It's an attack by my political opponents in Washington, D.C.
Trump's sentencing has now been moved to November 26, several weeks after the election. The judge, meanwhile, delayed a decision on the defense request throughout the case on immunity grounds. A difficult week on Wall Street. The Dow fell 410 points today. You're listening to NPR. For some kids with chronic illness, finding independence can be a major challenge. One middle schooler in Michigan is talking about it in her award-winning podcast. NPR's Janet Ujong-Lee has more.
In her podcast, 14-year-old Lila Lanovich opens up about leaving school and losing social outlets to chronic illness. But Lila herself isn't the star of her story.
Introducing Lopez, the dog with a rainbow tail. Lopez loves balls, socks, and me. His job is to protect me and keep me safe, and he excels at it.
That's from her podcast, Lopez the Rainbow-Tailed Service Dog, one of the grand prize winners in this year's NPR Student Podcast Challenge. Lila says with Lopez by her side, she's back in school for the first time in 5 years. She's taking it one step at a time, and Lopez will be there every step of the way. Janet Ujong-Lee, NPR News.
A dramatic rescue of tourists stranded atop one of Switzerland's most popular mountain resorts today after a mudslide yesterday cut off road access. Teams from Air Zermatt Rescue and Helicopter Service led the operation for upwards of 2,200 tourists, most of them Swiss, caught at the Saas-Fee Resort in southern Switzerland. Authorities say heavy rains caused rivers to overflow their banks and say the road will likely be closed till early next week. Local TV broadcasts showed long lines of people, some in hiking gear, waiting for flights out. Crude oil futures prices closed lower today, oil down $1.48 a barrel to $67.67 a barrel. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include American Jewish World Service, supporting human rights advocates worldwide in the fight for democracy, equity, and justice for all people. Learn more at ajws.org.
Is pianist and arranger Antonio Adolfo with a Brazilian take on the music of Cole Porter. Just One of Those Things comes from the new album, Love Cole Porter, from Antonio Adolfo. I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to Jazz in the Night on this Friday night. In about 8 minutes, some big band music from Bill Warfield and the Hell's Kitchen Funk Orchestra, their version of a Woody Shaw tune. And up next, a classic Blue Note recording by Hank Mobley. We're going to hear the title track to the 1963 album No Room for Squares, with Lee Morgan playing trumpet, Andrew Hill at the piano, John Orr and Philly Joe Jones bass and drums, tenor saxophonist Hank Mobley. His tune, No Room for Squares, here on KPR. Thank you. That's tenor saxophonist Hank Mobley in the title track to his 1963 album for Blue Note Records called No Room for Squares. Really fine outing with Lee Morgan playing trumpet and Andrew Hill at the piano, John Orr and Philly Joe Jones bass and drums, tenor man Hank Mobley. On KPR's Jazz in the Night, we're in about 10 minutes, we'll hear from our KPR Jazz Album of the Week. Drummer Alvin Queen's trio playing The Night Has a Thousand Eyes. And up next, big band music from Bill Warfield and the Hell's Kitchen Funk Orchestra. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Topeka Zoo's Brew at the Zoo, Saturday, September 14th, featuring beer tastings, live music, games, food trucks, and animal encounters, all supporting the zoo's conservation initiatives. Tickets at topekazoo.org. Well, New York-based trumpeter Bill Warfield leading his Hell's Kitchen Funk Orchestra on a new album called Chesapeake. And this is Bill's arrangement of a Woody Shaw tune called Rosewood here on KPR.